This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 3rd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a story on rail congestion in the Chicago area. It's an issue that affects rail traffic in Chicago, the Midwest, and all over the country. Also have a forecast coming up from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. How much more rain will we get? First, a look at today's news. Although the Illinois General Assembly passed a state budget this weekend, Governor Al Blagojevich says legislators still have more work left to do. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Blagojevich says Illinois has no budget because the one lawmaker sent him is, he says, out of whack. The governor isn't calling the General Assembly back to Springfield to work on it, at least not yet. Rather, he's calling on the legislature's leaders to negotiate a new one. He also wants them to agree on a $3 billion plan to fix the state's aging infrastructure. Blagojevich blames House Speaker Mike Madigan for the holdup. Madigan says he's also for a construction program, but he says it could involve raising taxes.
All the prior governors had capital plans, and they all stood up and said, look, we ought to have a construction program, but it will not be painless.
When asked about it, Blagojevich said this.
I didn't run for governor or become governor because I was interested in inflicting pain on people.
As for the overall budget, Madigan's spokesman says everyone got a chuckle over Blagojevich's newfound concern that it be balanced. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois lawmakers' failure to pass that capital spending plan will likely shelve some projects at the University of Illinois for now. They include the construction of three new buildings on the Urbana campus. But Vice President for Planning and Budgeting Randy Kanga says the biggest blow resulting from the lack of legislative action would be at Lincoln Hall, which has been a top priority for remodeling for most of the last decade.
Most of the students in liberal arts and sciences go through that building, and in addition to students from lots of other colleges. It has not had a major renovation in nearly 80 years, and so it's getting in pretty tough shape.
The U of I was seeking $55 million for Lincoln Hall, which Kanga says will still receive from minor repairs despite the failure of the Capitol bill. He says the next priority coming from the Capitol plan was funding the building to house the world's fastest supercomputer. A $200 million National Science Foundation grant has already come through for the Petascale project, so Kanga says the U of I may borrow funds from the state so the project will remain on target for a fall groundbreaking. Illinois' economy continues a slowdown, though it's not yet in recession mode. That's the assessment of the monthly U of I Flash Economic Index. Economist Fred Gertz says the May index checked in at 102.3, which is still above the level signifying economic growth, but more than 4 points lower than it was a year ago. Gertz says the index hasn't detected economic contraction since early 2004. It measures state income, sales, and corporate tax revenues to create a snapshot of how the economy is performing. The jury may be getting closer to a verdict in the trial of political fundraiser Tony Rezko. Robert Wildebohr has more.
The jury sent a note to Judge Amy St. Eve telling her they are not able to reach a verdict on one of the counts against Rezko. There are 24 counts in total. St. Eve called the jury into the courtroom and told the jurors to keep working at it. She said, quote, "Do not hesitate to re-examine your own views and change your opinion if you come to believe it is wrong." But she added that they should not go against their conscience and change their vote just because of the opinions of fellow jurors, or for the purpose of simply returning a unanimous verdict. If jurors continue to have troubles with just one count, they could reach a partial verdict in which the judge declares a mistrial for the one count but lets the verdict stand in the others. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
Heavy rains have forced boaters off East Central Illinois' most popular river for canoeing and kayaking. The acting regional commander for the State Department of Natural Resources says swift currents have become too dangerous on the middle fork of the Vermilion River, and those currents are carrying debris with them. Duane Pitchford says the DNR will keep monitoring the middle fork for any signs of improvement.
It's hard to say how long it'll stay elevated and dangerous, but we monitor it routinely each day and watch it so that we can open it, you know, at the very first determination that it is within acceptable limits again.
Pitchford estimates the Middle Fork carries 95% of the area's canoeing activity, especially since it runs through two Danville area parks. DNR and Vermilion County Police will monitor the river while the restrictions are in place. The new owner of Urbana's Lincoln Hotel says they plan to restore the downtown building to its original style, but that it would be easier without historical landmark status. AM580's Jim Meadows reports.
Global Hotel Management says they want to remove the Bavarian decorations currently at the Lincoln and restore the building to the Tudor Revival design intended by its architect, Joseph W. Royer. But they don't want historic landmark status for the hotel they bought 2 months ago. The Urbana City Council agreed with Global and voted down landmark status. But Alderman Dennis Roberts is still skeptical. He fears that a national hotel chain could come in and order changes to the Lincoln that would alter its character. Global Vice President Fred Rodemond told Roberts that they don't favor changing the hotel to fit some corporate look.
The property already has a look, and we hold dear the 1924 castle, which is the Royer design. And if a major brand came in and said, you need to paint this entire hotel purple, we're going to tell the brand they're out of their mind.
But Rodemond says a historic landmark designation would only scare away a hotel chain needed to make the Lincoln a viable property. He says he would support landmark designation after the renovations were done. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Chicago's highway congestion is already notorious. There's much less awareness about one of its causes, the clogged condition of the area's rail lines. Transportation experts say reducing Chicago's rail congestion could cut commuting times, protect the environment, and fuel the local economy. A public-private partnership called CREATE aims to relieve that congestion. But as Chip Mitchell reports for Illinois Public Radio, after 5 years of work, the partnership has completed very little.
Chicago is the only city where six of the continent's seven largest railroads converge. But rail improvements over the years haven't kept up with increasing demand for freight transportation. That's helped make trucking more competitive and roads more congested. Heading into Chicago from the east, the last big truck stop is here in Gary, Indiana. About 150 semis loaded with everything from steel coils to pet food have pulled in. Most say they won't go any further until traffic ahead loosens up. It's just 4 in the afternoon, so they're going to be here a while.
Meeting well?
Yes, sir.
All right, you got my bacon table?
Right here, man.
38-year-old Richard Felton of Olympia, Washington, has a seat in the truck stop diner.
Sitting idle, eating greasy food when I could just be going down the road doing what I need to do.
Felton's Freightliner is pulling a 53-foot trailer full of furniture and lab equipment from Ohio and Michigan. He has another load to pick up in Naperville, but Felton says there's no use burning fuel and wearing out brakes in Chicago's stop-and-go traffic.
Probably 6 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night, it's congested. It could take anywhere from 2 to 4 hours to get through.
Transportation experts say road congestion hurts productivity, hikes consumer prices, and fills the air with greenhouse gases. But there is another way to move freight. A single train can carry more weight than 200 trucks can. Paul Nowicki is an assistant vice president of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway.
We can get a ton of freight from Chicago to Minneapolis on a gallon of fuel.
The problem is getting the trains out of the city in the first place. Congestion on Chicago area rail lines can hold up freight trains for as long as 2 days. In 2003, Nowicki's company and 5 other major railroads partnered with the city and state to eliminate some of the bottlenecks. They came up with a plan called CREATE, short for the Chicago Region Environmental and Transportation Efficiency Program.
Motorists will spend 3,000 hours per day, less time, waiting at grade crossings for trains to go by after CREATE is built. And metro service will be improved as well.
The plan calls for 78 projects, including crossing signals, control towers, and grade separations. Most of the separations would lift roads above rail lines when they cross. 6 others, called flyovers, would separate crossing rail lines.
One flyover would be here near 63rd and State on Chicago's south side. Some Norfolk Southern freight trains sit for hours waiting for Metra commuter trains like this one to cross. The plan is to lift the Metra line 23 feet so the tracks no longer touch.
Planners say CREATE would double the average speed of freight trains through the Chicago area. They say that could help generate thousands of local jobs. But 5 years since CREATE's launch, just two of the 78 projects are complete, and just four others are under construction.
At this pace, unfortunately, the CREATE program is on a schedule to take 25 years. And these are improvements that are needed now.
Jim LaBelle is a deputy director of a business-backed group called Chicago Metropolis 2020. He says the most glaring problem is a lack of funding. As designed, CREATE was going to run $1.5 billion.
They were looking at the federal government to pay the lion's share of it.
But the Fed's first installment, approved by Congress in 2005, was just $100 million. The state of Illinois has come up with even less, just $10 million. Governor Rod Blagojevich's latest capital proposal would add $100 million for CREATE. But an impasse between Blagojevich and House Speaker Michael Madigan is holding it up. The leading CREATE proponent in the House is Elaine Nekritz of Northwest Suburban Des Plaines. Nekritz says passing a capital bill depends on the governor.
We are going to need some assurances that the money will be spent in the manner in which we anticipate.
Congressman Dan Lipinski of Chicago says the stalemate could make it harder to get more federal support.
If the state of Illinois does not pass a capital bill this year, it's going to be much more difficult for me to make the argument to bring more funding back to the state of Illinois, including CREATE.
With CREATE's funding so shaky, at least one of the partners is getting cold feet. Montreal-based CN has announced plans to purchase a line that bypasses Chicago, known as the EJ&E. Suburbs along that railway are upset about the prospect of more freight trains. But CN Vice President Karen Borlaug-Phillips says her company has to do something about its congestion.
While we are very supportive of CREATE and hope CREATE gets funded, we can't wait several years for that to happen.
Many CREATE supporters say the funding may never materialize unless politicians start hearing more about the program from constituents. But the public still doesn't know much about CREATE. Randy Blankenhorn of the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning says that's partly because the partnership meets behind closed doors.
These are public dollars, so we have to be open about the way we spend those dollars.
The stakes are high. Over the next two decades, Blankenhorn points out, the federal government expects demand for freight transportation through the Chicago area to nearly double.
And if we don't have a successful rail system, if it's not efficient, our two options are to lose that freight or to put them on the highways.
What a person does between birth and death.
At the Indiana stop, 40-year-old trucker Gerald Smith of Clarksville, Tennessee, just endured a three-hour drive through suburban Chicago.
I might have reached 5 miles an hour, if that. It was a nightmare.
Smith doesn't like the idea of putting more freight on railways, but he can't come up with a better alternative. He knows that adding highway lanes isn't the answer.
Because you widen the roads and you get more people. You get more cars. You widen the roads. It's going to be an ongoing thing for the rest of my life that I know of.
For now, Smith says, he's just trying to make it home to his kids. It's going to be a long night. I'm Chip Mitchell.
Heavy rains greeted a good part of central Illinois this morning, and we're going to see a greater chance of rain coming up through the course of the day today and even into tomorrow in many spots. The forecast for today in northern and central sections of Illinois and Indiana, mostly cloudy with periods of rain and thunderstorms. In the south, a mix of clouds and sun with scattered thunderstorms. Some storms could be severe with some locally heavy rainfall likely. Highs today ranging from 65 along the Chicago lakefront to 90 in far southern Illinois. The high in Champaign-Urbana around 80 degrees with that likelihood of some heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy tonight across the two states with areas of rain and thunderstorms. Lows between 55 in far northern Illinois to 72 in the far south, the low 67 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, a chance of thunderstorms early in southern Illinois and southwest Indiana, then mostly sunny and hot. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms and the temperatures creeping up. Highs from only around 70 near the Chicago lakefront to around 92 degrees in far southern Illinois. The high in Champaign-Urbana for tomorrow expected to be 85 with a sunny and hot 92 degrees on Thursday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.